The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Next on Life Today, Vanita Halliburton shares the struggle she faced after her son's tragic suicide.
I think his emotional pain was so intense that he thought the only way to end his pain was to end his life. And on a bright, sunny day, he jumped from the roof of a 10-story building to his death at age 19.
Trusting God, even when it seems he has betrayed us.
There are things that sometimes catch your attention when you're just watching a news story or you're reading something in the newspaper that really grabs your heart. And our guest today really, really grabbed my heart with not only what she'd been through, but with the way she was handling it and the way she tried to help others. I'm James Robinson, my wife Betty, and I welcome you to Life Today. And we're talking about something that's very, very serious, and that is the pain you feel when you lose a loved one, a child, a family member, and Betty and I know that only too well. As most of you know as viewers, we lost our daughter, our youngest daughter, right after Christmas, last Christmas. But a lot of children today are taking their own life. Betty, we wept over and prayed for Rick Warren and Kay Warren when they lost their son to, as they were so open and honest about, a terrible battle with depression and mental torment that he took his own life. Well, our guest today, Vanita Halliburton, shared her story because some 7 years ago or so, her son, after a real battle, took his life. And this is a woman who trusted God, just like Betty and I, Robin, our daughter, was trusting God. And yet she lost this son. I want you to hear her story. And I believe you'll find healing and inspiration. Would you welcome Vanita to Life Today? Vanita, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're able to smile, okay?
Yes.
I'm glad you're able to smile. I see, and you know, we had a meal together here before we came out here. And I see a peace and a joy, knowing what you've been through, that can only come from a source far beyond yourself, from God. But you knew God, and you loved God, and yet something happened that you couldn't fathom happening, and you almost couldn't handle. I want you just to share with our viewers what God's put on your heart to share, that you're actually going around and sharing as you've done in our own community with our school leaders and students to hear. Tell us your story.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm so sorry for your loss. I feel like only another parent who's been through that understands, and I know you understand some of what this feels like. But you know, my faith goes back as far as I can remember. I trusted Christ as a child, and from that moment on, I believed utterly in God's goodness, that He would care for me, that He would protect me from harm, that He would take care of me all through my life. And of course, that's true. I didn't think that God would keep me from having anything go wrong in my life, but deep down, I think maybe I did think that I would have an easier time because I was God's child and that I would be cared for in that way. And that's not true. As surely as we are born into this world, we will all experience loss and pain before we leave it. And sometimes that loss, that pain, can test our faith. It can prove our faith. It can shake our faith. It can shatter our faith. And I was surprised to find that my faith was shattered in November 2005 when I lost my son to suicide at the age of 19. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you just a little bit about Grant, because I do think people don't understand mental illness or understand that kind of torment that would actually drive, especially a young person, mm-hmm. to such an act. Grant was one of the most outgoing, loving, gifted, artistically and musically young kids you would ever have known. He was the kind of person that loved everybody, and everyone who knew him loved him back. And so it was quite a shock when we learned when he was in eighth grade that he was cutting, which is a form of self-injury that's linked to emotional pain. Because from the outside, he looked like he didn't have a care in the world. And so what we know with teenagers or need to know is that what we see on the outside is not always an indication of what's going on inside. He was suffering deeply inside. We got him the help that he needed. He was diagnosed with depression, and for the next 5 years, we worked to get him the professional treatment that he needed to overcome his depression. And then...
And you were praying the whole time, too,
weren't you? I was praying the whole time.
And you were trusting the whole time.
The whole 5 years, I remember, and especially after about 5 years, things got worse, and he came to me one day and said, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to lead a normal life if I don't get some help. And he checked into the psychiatric unit of a hospital, and where he stayed for 30 days. That whole 5 years, and especially that last year, I remember days when almost every day my first waking thought was a prayer. And I simply didn't know how to pray except to say, God, keep Grant in your grip today. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. That's all I knew to say. But I believed that God would take care of this boy, that he would make him well, that he would heal his mental illness and make him whole again. I completely believed it. And so when Grant got out of the hospital, which should have been a time when he was really doing well, he, 2 weeks out of the hospital, I think his emotional pain was so intense that he thought the only way to end his pain was to end his life. And that's what causes people to give up hope of getting well and feel like that's the only answer to their mental anguish. And on a bright, sunny day, he jumped from the roof of a 10-story building to his death at age 19. You know, there's no way to explain the heartache, the unfathomable pain that you feel as a parent. But as a Christian, I was not prepared for the other thing that I felt, and that was I felt betrayed. I felt that God had completely betrayed me. And I felt that I'd lost my faith, that everything I had believed my whole life might not be right. And I was shocked that I felt that. My pain, I didn't know what to do with it. I felt kind of ashamed that I had that pain, that I felt so angry at God over this situation. So I poured out what I was feeling on the pages of a journal, which I kept for several years. And I have trouble expressing exactly what that felt like, but I thought I would read you just one paragraph out of the journal that I kept during that time.
Please.
This was a year and a
half.
By
the way, Betty's doing the very same thing, and I think it's remarkable. I can't even describe. Someday we'll share at the appropriate time what she's writing. Mm-hmm. It's beyond her, and it's a part of the healing process for her.
It really is. It really is. It was just, if you have that pain, you have to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
So this was a year and a half after Grant had died, and this was the place that I was in. I have lost so much more than my precious son. I have lost my foundation. I've lost my faith in God. That is a hard thing to say. The God I was raised to believe in, the benevolent one who protects and blesses those who love and serve him, the God who promised, ask and you shall receive. I don't even know what that means now. It's not that I thought God would spare me from trouble or sadness in life, but oh my God, I put every ounce of trust I had in him. I prayed and pleaded with him to take care of my son. I believed that he would. I still cannot pray. How do people survive? How do they survive? My son, my father, I miss you both.
Mm.
So during this terrible time, you know, I missed my faith. I missed my son so terribly, but I missed my relationship with God. And James, when I was in your waiting room a while ago, I noticed a verse that is in an open book there. This is from Psalms 103, and you might have to help me with it, but it's, as a father as a father has compassion for his children, so does our Father have compassion for those who fear him. Mm-hmm. And this is the journey that God led me on. And that was all the time that I was so angry at God that I could not even speak to God. He did not let go of me. And I did not know it at the time, but I do now. That just as we do when a small child is upset and hurt and crying, we instinctively pull them to us and we hold them close. Mm-hmm. And we whisper soothing things to them until they're able to be quiet and calm. That's what God was doing to me. I didn't know it at the time.
Now tell me, how are you?
You know, it started the day after the funeral. Grant's father and his sister and I were sitting in his bedroom because we didn't know where else to be. We were just broken. And we came across this tiny little diary that Grant had written when he was 12 years old. And we opened it and we began to read, and he described his life as a 12-year-old. He talked about his salvation. He talked about how much he loved God and Jesus. Mm. And what a gift that was to us. But there was God holding me close and giving me assurance. And he was whispering to me, he's safe now. He's home with me.
Yeah.
He's with me. And just as a father comforts a child in that way. And there were so many extraordinary times like that, that as I look back and as I read back through my journal and the things I wrote that happened, now I see so clearly the path. Another time, I was sitting in a Bible study, and a lady who was sitting next to me that I'd never seen before, we were all sharing life verses that were important to us. This woman had a lot of difficulty moving. Her daughter was sitting next to her and turning the pages of her Bible for her. And when it got to her turn, her daughter said, Mom, do you have a verse that you would like to share? And this woman took every bit of her strength to take in a breath. And she could barely whisper through nearly paralyzed lips, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And I think God was speaking to me in that moment. It so impacted me. And I thought, God is saying to me, I am the Lord your God. I am the master of life and death. And I am in control of all things. Be still and know that I am God.
And you have found a peace that I heard coming from your testimony and read, and you are imparting that peace to others. And don't you see it when you go out and you share? It's there. Do you have any way now, a website or anything you're doing to try to minister to people? Do you want to tell us what that would be?
Sure. Our foundation is called the Grant Halliburton Foundation, after my son. And we go out and we try to teach families and young people how to recognize the signs of psychological distress or suicidal crisis in another person and how to connect them with help so that other people will have a better chance at a better outcome from
that. And you spoke in South Lake, and they expected about 100, and they had 1,000 come. The website is there on the screen. I would say several things. Feel free to give to that foundation. Say, you know what? I love what she's doing. It could save children's lives. It might save our grandchildren, our children. And also to perhaps communicate with Vanetta to see, would you like to come and speak to our school leaders mm-hmm. and to parents in the Parent-Teacher Association meetings or wherever, to help us know, because we've got in our own Dallas-Fort area, suicide among teenagers is a big issue. It is a big issue.
Yes,
and
it's
not always because someone had all these problems that Dr. Warren's son had, Rick Warren and his wife, or that Vanetta had. Sometimes it's just they don't seem to have any friends at school, or they're not dressed like the other kids. They don't have the same family or home setting. And you can help offset that, which is what our foundation is seeking to do. Let me tell you what I really feel right now, and I just feel so impressed to do this. Right now, there are people all over the world. Your heart's broken. And maybe you didn't get to sit in a prayer group. And maybe you didn't, like the Warrens, have a church family, or like Betty and James do. Have people all over the world praying for us. So you feel like, I'm alone in my pain. No, you're not. You're not alone in your pain. I need you to hear that. I need you to hear it now. And I need you to know that wherever you are, maybe you feel like the most lonely person on the planet, the most overlooked. But I promise you what Vanetta just said is what God wants for you right now. He wants to put His huge arms of love and pull you up to the biggest heart in the universe, His heart. And He wants to hold your broken heart. And close to His heart, you will find rest and healing. And that's what He wants for you. Let Him do it. Just yield to Him now. Just tell Him, God, Father, be the Father that I need. Hold my heart. Hold my heart. Heal my heart. Tell Him that you know He loves you. He does. And trust Him right where you are. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray You'll show people all over this world who feel so overlooked that You see them and You care and You want to hold them. And I pray they'll know that in Jesus' name. There's a telephone number there on the screen. And if you want someone who will care to pray with you, you call that number. It's paid for by love. It's an 800 number. Betty and I, we can't pay that phone bill. We'd probably try to if we didn't have anybody that did. Just like we try to drill a water well. Every time we drill water wells, we try to drill one. We pray, God, let us drill another one. Because we care. So the number's paid for by love. You call and say, I want somebody to agree with me in the prayer I just prayed. And a lot of people call because they're lonely. Vanetta, I want to thank you for sharing. Would you say thanks to Vanetta for sharing her journey and her story? You have a beautiful touch of God on your life, a glow of God, His grace and His glory. He's holding you real close.
You know, I found that it is in our brokenness. John Ortberg said in one of his books, God never wastes a hurt.
No, He doesn't.
And it is in our brokenness that God can find the pieces to put together and make something that He intended us to be. And that's what He wants to do
with everybody, even the people who feel like they have such a broken heart out here. I want to show you something. Right down here is a water bottle. Now, we have a cup of water. Jesus said, if you give one in my name, you won't lose your reward. I don't know all He had in mind with that reward. But here's a water bottle that our missionary worker dipped water up in her bottle that this little girl was drinking that represented thousands and thousands of little children that don't have any kind of water but this. It's filthy. And we want to give this little girl, her family and friends, a water well so they won't have to drink this anymore. And you can give a cup of water. Perhaps a well of water in Jesus' name. I want you to watch this.
This heat, this oppressive heat, it drains you of energy, just like it robs this ground of water. What's left is often a death sentence. These women, girls, so young. I watched them again and again, drawing from their only source within miles. 12-year-old Tulsi, what a precious girl, born into such adversity, into impossible circumstances beyond her control. We all have a role to play, and I feel especially burdened by mine, because as I look around at these scenes before me, I'm so conflicted with how to adequately bring their stories to life. Their struggle for the most basic of necessities. For if I can't help you see it, feel it, how can your heart know how to respond? A death sentence. That's what I'm holding in my hand. Dear God, You came to make all things new. Beauty for ashes, a new heart, from death to life. Father, please, I know you see her. Bring Tulsi life-giving water. Take away this death sentence.
Tammy was there because of the prayers and concern of missionaries who planted their lives in the midst of pain. Here is that bottle. It was Tammy's water bottle. Here's that beautiful little girl's picture. Here is the water that Tammy got. It's filthy. I wouldn't give it to a pet, to an animal. We don't have to in advanced countries. We can get clean water. You can even go and buy bottled water in any store in the country if you're not satisfied with the tap water, which is so far beyond anything people know. She was crying out in behalf of a little girl that represented thousands of children in the villages and their family, the 500 areas that we've targeted in 12 countries, where missionaries with a heart like Tammy expressed have directed our steps to say, would you please give these precious people Jesus died for? And we want to tell them about the love of God, but we'd rather demonstrate it too. Would you do it? And we come to the viewers of Life Today. The missionaries know that. They come to us because they believe that together we have the heart of God to help the hurting and the suffering. And Betty, they're convinced the viewers of Life Today will help. And I believe they will.
I do too, James. And I look at this and I see not only her picture, but I see the pictures of child after child, because there's so many of them that have this same need as she does. And James, yes, God does care about every one of them. He loves the little children, but He wants to use us, His children, to reach out to these children that are in need. And we can do that. That's our responsibility as His children, to love and to reach out and to respond when there's a need.
I think it's a joyful responsibility to respond. Do you know what our staff and workers told us when they gave us this bottle? They said, be very careful not to get it on your hands. That is the water. It'll make you sick. Isn't that something? It'll make you sick. Well, I'm grateful that our own staff would care enough to say, be careful with that. It's contaminated. What about those precious children? You see, we really do care about them. I believe you care about them. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Help us drill those wells. 500 wells, that's the most we've ever taken on in faith. And it's because of the prayers of the missionaries who direct our vision, our sight. Here's the place. Would you drill a well? Would you drill part of a well? Would you give toward a well? $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. A gift that just keeps on giving. Would you take your bank card or write a check, make it to Life, and call us and tell us you're mailing it? Or go online, lifetoday.org, and make that gift. $144, 30 people have water. Many of our viewers, including children, it's amazing what they do when they set their sights on it, give entire wells. There are couples that do it, individuals, small businesses that do it in church groups and prayer groups, but also children. If you could possibly drill a well, please do it. We're going to need some people to drill a well. $4,800 or give $2,400 and pray. God help someone match this. If you can give $1,200, pray for three people to join you. We've got another well. It's going to take all of us together doing what we can, doing our part, expressing God's heart, extending His hands of love. Would you do it? Would you give a cup of water in Jesus' name or a well of water? Please dial that number or go online. We've got some gifts to send you to say thank you and to bless you as you bless others. Thank you for making that call. Please don't be distracted. If you get a busy, be determined and call until you get through. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I want to say a deep thanks to you for helping us with the wells. This is Living Water. A little boy with a manual pump when he can do by hand. Energy sources are lacking in the areas we drill the wells, so we'll get a well for everybody they can access. We'll send one to say thanks for drilling a well or giving a large gift toward that. But every gift is so important because we're giving the gift of life. And Vanetta, I want to say thanks to you again for sharing life today with us, because you've been through an indescribable painful experience, but the glow and glory of God is on you, and I want to thank you for sharing. There's her website again if you want to know what she's doing to try to help people who are really fighting the battle of their feelings and even depression. Would you join us in thanks to Vanetta
thank
again?
You.
We really bless you. Big thanks.
Thank you.
We really want to thank you. We pray God will bless you. Thank all of you for helping us. Thank you for helping us share life. Give water. You're a blessing.
Next week on Life Today, from the Dove Award-winning Crab family, Aaron and Amanda describe God's overwhelming mercy. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.